The Ministry, Sermon Number 1, by Elder O.A. Olson, February the 8th, 1893. This place is becoming more and more solemn on the account of the presence of God. I presume that none of us have ever before been in quite such a meeting as we are having at this time. The Lord is certainly coming very near and is revealing things more and more, things which we have not heretofore so fully appreciated nor understood. It is also evident that the message of the true witness is being appreciated more than in the past. Their great difficulty with us has been that while we have been, just as the message declares, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, we did not know it. We thought we had the truth, and hence were rich and increased in goods, needing nothing. All these years the Spirit of God has been appealing to us and placing before us our condition, but we have not been able to see it, have not been willing to acknowledge it. I felt very solemn last evening. To me, the place was terrible on account of God's nearness, on account of the solemn testimony that was borne to us here. I am so glad that the Lord is working, and I expect to see great things as the result. I hardly know what to say this morning, but I have something which I will read to you. Some may feel tried over the idea that Minneapolis is referred to. I know that some have felt grieved and tried over any allusion to that meeting and to the situation there, but let it be borne in mind that the reason why anyone should feel so is an unyielding spirit on his part. Just as quickly as we fully surrender and humble our hearts before God, the difficulty is all gone. The very idea that one is grieved shows at once the seed of rebellion in the heart. Brethren, God knew all about this meeting before we did. God is in this work, and He Himself is leading out. God cannot manifest His love at this time in a more potent way than to show us our sins. For it has been stated here many times, it is sin that is in the way of God's blessings. The sin must be removed before God's Spirit can come in. I don't care where it is, nor who it is, whether you have been a minister for a score of years, or whether you are the sinner just being awakened to the first sense of guilt. Sin is sin everywhere. And it is sin that must be taken away before God can come in, for it has been repeatedly said to us that Christ will not compromise with sin. He can't do it. But if we fail at one time, the Lord will take us over the ground again. And if we fail a second time, He will take us over the ground again. And if we fail a third time, the Lord will take us over the same ground again. Why is He thus taking us over the ground again and again? For what purpose? It is that we may lay hold of His grace and overcome. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So instead of being vexed over the idea that the Lord is taking us over the same ground, let us thank Him and praise Him unceasingly. For this is God's mercy and compassion. Anything else than this is our ruin and destruction. The character and the mind of Christ must be developed in us before we are prepared to live with Him. God be praised, then, that He is dealing with us so faithfully and plainly. The very idea that God is coming so near to us at this time and showing us our sin in its true colors is the surest indication that He has great blessings to bestow on His servants. Yes, there is nothing more encouraging. At this point, the reading of the testimony referred to occurred, following which Elder Olson continued his remarks. The time has come for an advanced movement in the work of the message. As a denomination, we have theoretically believed in the doctrine of justification by faith, and those who were connected with the early experience of the message knew a great deal of its power. But as the work progressed and the cause enlarged, it is a fact that we were resting more and more on the theory and less on the power of the truth. And today, as we look out upon the work, we can see churches that are weak and fainting because they have a knowledge of the theory, but do not know the converting power of the message. Ministers have gone out and presented a clear argument on the Sabbath or the nature of man, but with reference to leading sinners to Christ and preaching a death to sin and a living connection with heaven, they could not do it because they had not the experience themselves. Under such circumstances, we were in no condition to meet the Lord or to do the work that the message was to accomplish, in no condition to give the loud cry of the message. What would be our power in the world with the theory of the truth only? It would be nothing. We call attention to the work of Sister White. Has not this been her burden all these years? Has it not been to impress this idea on ministers and people? The truth is the same. The Lord has not changed. His testimony has not changed. There was one time when I asked myself this question. Has Sister White a patent upon preaching Christ, which we ministers must not touch? You may smile at such an idea as that, but I virtually asked myself that question. In her writings and in her preaching, I observed the theme was always the same. And then I noticed what an effect those discourses had, and what a power they were with the people. So I asked myself that question, and then said I, no, if God wants Sister White to labor in that direction, it is our privilege also to follow in the same line. Well, I began to labor more in that way from that time. Another thought, brethren, justification by faith is not a theory, but an experience. I have felt sad to see some trying to preach justification by faith when they did not know a thing about it in reality. You never can preach justification by faith until you know it in Christ Jesus. Don't try to preach justification by faith. Don't try to preach any truth until you know it in Christ Jesus. Then it will be natural. And the power of God will be with you. That is the end of Elder Olson's sermon.